Hey, that's Kurt.
Oh, Jesus. You've forgotten my name. I knew this was going to happen.
Well, we had an argument, and we've been airing these archive episodes.
What have been happening?
Because I've been away, even though I'm here now with
Say
you.
My full name before we continue.
It's what
Say
we,
my full
we
name.
Had, no, in fact, it's in this episode that the argument happens. We have an argument about how to pronounce your name. And I thought this had already aired. No, it's actually in this archived one that we're going to do today. It might be the beginning, or maybe it's the end, I say Brownholer, which is how you say it.
No, it's not.
I don't know how you think you're saying it to people, but it comes out of your mouth, Brownholer.
No, it doesn't. Listen, just before we even, you spilled the whole beans. You already spilled the beans about what's happening in this episode.
No, but it's still funny to hear. It's because it's a very sincere exchange when it happens.
This is, again, just so you guys know, Joe and I have had a fight that's gone on for about a week now, where we weren't going to air this old archive episode. Joe insisted. I fought back. He insisted I fought back. And guess what? Eventually, I caved. I caved because why? Because friendship is about a give and a take. And it seemed very important to Joe to have this archived episode have its last life out there in the world.
See, I disagree with you on something.
What?
I felt that I caved immediately to you saying I don't want to air another archive episode.
Here's what I worry about is I want emotional hangs to be fresh for the listener. I want them to be engaged in our lives as it's happening right now.
Right, right.
And we are going to do that, guys.
Yeah.
Next week, we got it's all brand new. There are no more archived episodes.
Well, no.
You're never going to hear another one after this one.
And that was the other thing. We had this archived episode. I said, Kurt, if we don't use it now, we never can use it because it's going to be way out of the trajectory of the other three that we've aired. And then we weren't going to do it because Kurt said, no, I don't want to do another old one. I said, okay.
I said, we are losing listeners. We had a very, I was in a bad mood pretty much every time we talked.
This was not a fight, though. Did you see this as a fight, or were you just joking when you said fight?
I mean, it was kind of a fight. I mean, it was like, we went back and forth about it like five times. Like, you caved, and then you came back to me, and you're like, nah, I still think we should do it. And I said,
well,
no.
Because things kept going wrong, and I'd say, Kurt, maybe that we should just air the archive app. And then another thing would go wrong where we couldn't record. Maybe we should share the archive app.
And then finally,
the last straw was we were supposed to have guests on today, and today we're recording the episode for next week.
Yeah.
But we're supposed to have guests on and record a second episode, and then our guest canceled at about 11 p.m. last night. And I go, Kurt.
Very cool.
The universe is screaming at us to just use the archive app.
And then I realized that if we air this archive episode, it will unlock something in the universe that needs to occur.
Right.
And once that does, emotional hangs is going to really take off. People are going to realize, now this is why I need to be listening to this podcast.
Yes. So we thank you for your patience. We appreciate it. We can plug some. This is the final of the archive episode.
This is the final. Next week, we're back. We're going to hear all about Joe's stint in rehab. We're going to hear all about my stint upstate at a crystal camp.
Yes. Do you have anything you want to plug before we start the episode here?
Oh, man. Just go see the Big Sick, guys. And I'll be in Montreal this weekend.
I haven't seen it yet. I need to go see it because you're in it.
You will. Someday you'll see it.
I mean, you're in it. I need to go see it. But I was traveling for so long, and I went to the movies twice.
Quote-unquote. You hear how he says traveling, quote-unquote.
Oh, God.
Is traveling.
I was at my parents' for a lot of it.
Oh, is your parents named... Harbors in Malibu. God damn it! Why couldn't I remember like a rehab name of that Malibu place?
I don't know.
Harbors. That's what
Harbors,
I came up
yeah.
with.
Like New Meadows, or would be one. Like,
thank you, New Meadows.
Or greener pastures,
New Horizons.
But I went to the movies twice with my folks, and I didn't think it was the movie to bring my folks to.
Oh, it's totally the movie to bring your
folks
to.
Well, that's what Pat said to me on my other podcast yesterday.
Oh, your folks would love it.
See,
Holly Hunter, Ray Romano. Parents love Ray Romano and Holly Hunter.
My mom is obsessed with Ray Romano.
Oh, man, she would have loved it.
Well, we opted for Pirates of the Caribbean 5. and War for the Planet of the Apes, which was pretty excellent.
All right, great. I would love to hear.
Does your movie have any fighting monkeys in it? I don't think it does.
Nope, it doesn't.
So then fuck off. I'll be in Amsterdam next week, the Comedy Train Festival. Kyle Kinane and I are co-hosting for 4 nights, August 2nd through the 5th. So come out and see us.
And guys,
that's literally it. Like, it's just, that's the whole festival. It's just two comics co-headlining. So please come out if you live there and show us a good time. Cause you know how hard it is to find fun shit to do in Amsterdam. you acting like there's sex and drugs on every corner.
All right. And guys, this is very exciting. We have two live tapings of Emotional Hangs. One in Las Vegas, September 23rd as part of Scoops Fest.
Right.
You can go to scoopsfest.com and get tickets right now. That is our buddy Matt Donnelly and Paul Mattingly's podcast festival for their podcast, The Ice Cream Social. And in November, we're going to be in Houston at the Come and Take It Festival.
Yes.
Joe and I will be doing two shows. Or a show together and then doing an episode of this Emotional Hangs on November 18th.
Yeah, and Kurt and I will be doing a few other co-headlining shows in that area, but we'll plug those closer to the dates.
Yeah.
Anyway, on with the archived episode. 1, 2, 3,
let's get soft!
Let's get soft if you want to get soft with it. Sometimes you feel you gotta love somebody, and that somebody is you. Sometimes we feel we need to touch somebody before we're through. So take my hand and spin me in and hang me in emotions, man. I'll tell you where I think we stand.
Let's get soft if you wanna get soft with it.
That can't be
here
true.
It is. Here it is. Oh, you piece of shit. Right after we get started, Joe trips over the cord, pulls my headphones out. I can't hear a damn thing. I don't know if I'm talking or not. Yeah, I can hear it now. You want to ruin another element of this podcast?
Well, sorry. I had to hit record over on the other side of the room and then walk over
here. Yeah, no, it's tough. It's, what is it, 3.5, 4 feet away?
Yeah. I tripped.
This is not the reason that maybe I'm going to give you shit about this. Is it's maybe not the first time you fucked it up. You fucked something up with this podcast.
Yeah, we lost the last episode.
Lost it completely. And the fact that I've canceled on doing it with you like 6 times, and that's my fault. So you fucked it up. We recorded a full episode, and then you just deleted it.
Yeah.
And then we've been trying.
No, I didn't delete it. It didn't. When I went to play it, it was gone.
Yeah, right. What, it became a ghost?
Do you know how to work one of those Zoom recorders?
Yeah, you hit the button, and then...
I'd like to hit your button.
Boo.
That wasn't a sex thing.
Sounded like a sex thing.
No, that was like a punch you in the nose.
Oh, thing. My nose is my button.
You're such a queef. I mean, really. I wouldn't be surprised if you called your nose your button. Like, oh, my little button's running. Nothing would surprise me about that at all.
My little button's running. Ooh, I got a stuffed up button today.
let's start that and try to get people saying it.
I'm super down with that. I got a stuffed button.
Yeah, so we're sorry that it's been so long since the last episode.
It's been many trials and tribulations trying to get another Emotional Hangs on the books.
Yeah, we lost the last. I don't know what happened. It's because I have another podcast with Pat Walsh, and we recorded.
I mean, he just starts plugging right off the bat.
I didn't say the name
of it. It's within the first 3 minutes of our podcast. He can't stop mentioning all his other podcasts.
I didn't say the name of it on purpose to not plug. Purposefully, I was like, I'm not plugging.
Say the name of it.
No.
Say it.
No, I won't say it now. No,
now I want you to plug.
If they
want to
find it, they'll find it, and that's all that there is to it. Here's the thing. but we record in this same setup all the time, and we've never had a problem once. So I don't know. It was almost like the gods interfered, and they were like,
"That is interesting.
This is meant to be. Like, this podcast shouldn't see the light of day."
That is it. You know what? I'll be honest with you.
Right.
I left thinking that maybe we had revealed too much about ourselves.
Did you really?
I left worrying.
Why?
I don't know. I don't remember exactly all of the topics. I remember most of them.
I thought it was a really great episode. I don't remember all of it either, but I remember we learned there were two very significant things we learned about one another.
Those were my favorite parts of the episode, and that's kind of what's nice about this is that we actually have a moment now to just pick and choose the best parts and talk about those.
Yeah. Well, that's the only part I remember.
Yeah, exactly. The good times.
Maybe there was stuff on there that didn't that shouldn't have
seen. So you want to tee this up where the conversation started, like what you were complaining, what you asked me about, you confronted me?
I like how you just changed complaining to asking. Clearly, you had a decision choice.
And then confronting. Switched. And yeah. I flipped it to confronting.
Yeah, confronting sounds healthier, though, doesn't it?
I guess so. But it still sounds like a reality television trope.
Right.
Like Joe confronted Kurt.
I remember it was, I don't remember how we got into it, but Kurt and I are friends.
The whole idea of the podcast is two adults becoming friends. How's that work?
Male adults being open about their emotions. Men are always covering up. Right?
Yeah.
I'd say the typical man.
Yeah, that's why it's called Emotional Hangs.
Right. So it's about, you know, the growth of two men together as friends.
Just two men growing.
Yeah. So we hang out, and our friendship has progressed literally over the course of this podcast. And I brought something up last time where I said, Kurt will do a thing where we're hanging out, and we're having a great time. We're at a bar. We're doing shots. We're laughing. We're making fun of each other. And then suddenly he'll just go, I got to go. See ya. Very abrupt.
I mean, it's never like Joe and I are just by ourselves together at the bar where I all of a sudden just do that. That made it sound like I am a fucking lunatic. It'll be where we're like,
yeah, no,
it'll be a bunch of people
there's
out.
There's other people.
And like maybe, like Joe and I maybe have not even talked in the past 20 minutes. We've been talking to other people or something.
That is the case sometimes. But also a lot of times in those big group hangs, sometimes you and I will slide off into sort of our own side hang for a little while.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to do shots because they're all like fucking.
And it's not like we're doing shots all the time. You make it sound like that's the only time we hang out.
No. I mean, we did do one before we started recording today.
But that's like that's a celebration of a tradition at this point.
So anyway, Kurt will do this thing where he very abruptly leaves. And then I will do this thing where I kind of give him. Not give him shit like, fuck you, man, but like give him a little bit, apply some pressure, and I'll go, no, dude, where are you going? Why are you leaving? So Kurt.
So the issue is that there's on my end, it's why do I just decide almost on a turn of a dime that I need to leave and then immediately leave? And then also, why does Joe feel like he always needs to convince the person that the party must continue?
Right.
So it's a two-pronged friendship investigation.
Right, yes. And I believe this started with you telling me that I apply too much pressure at the end of a hang, and I was feeling sort of guilty about that. I was. I think I was saying to you, I feel guilty, and then you were saying, well, you do this thing. And then I said to you, well, the only reason I do it is because I don't understand how quickly you leave all of a sudden. It confuses me. But then you told me the reason why.
The reason why is that it's usually that I have a moment where I realize like that I have to do something the next day, or like I have a moment of either clarity or responsibility, or on some levels I get very tired. And it's usually for like 30 minutes I'm thinking – I should go, but I'm only thinking it to myself, and I never verbalize it.
Right.
So there's, and then the way I leave is I just turn to Joe and just go, all right, I'm leaving, goodbye, and I literally walk away.
Yeah.
Because I should share early, like, hey, man, I'm just telling you, I don't have much left in me.
Well, and here's the thing. You don't have to share that early with me, but that made me understand why you were leaving, because in my interpretation of it, it was like,
We were just having like a great time.
And then you think you did something, and then I was like, fuck this guy, I'm out of here.
I never thought I did something. I just was like,
he must
who
not
leaves enjoy- like this? Like, I was just like, I don't understand. I was like, this, who leaves like this? And so it just confused me. So then I explained to you last time that my reaction to that is me being like, what are you talking about? Where the fuck are you going?
Yeah.
But now this is the big part.
This is the big part. So we realized this last time, and then Joe was like, delete. But
I said to you,
it still happened to us.
Well, I said to you every time now that you say to me, I got to go, I said, now I know why.
Yeah.
As soon as you say that, in my head, the computer goes, he's been waiting to leave for 30 minutes. He's been arguing with himself about it. He must go now. Don't take it personally. Yeah, and then I was like, oh, okay. And we've had several instances since then, one of which was my birthday party,
mm-hmm.
where you were like, gotta go. And I was like, all right, dude.
Yeah, and we've celebrated.
Good hang, and we've celebrated.
We also celebrated that it was like, we did it. We've come to an understanding. And that's a next level in a friendship.
I agree.
Also, there's another type of friendship as well where that is never addressed and talked about, and so it continues for years. And I have so many friends like that where we have dynamics where all we need to do is have a conversation like you and I are having.
Right.
But we have never, ever had a conversation like you and I are having. And so these weird dynamics have existed for decades.
I will tell you, years and years and years ago, Robert Kelly, very funny comedian, dear friend, he called me one day. We used to live in the same neighborhood in New York. He called me one day and he said, I need to meet with you, to talk to you. And I said, well, what's up? Just talk to me on the phone. And he goes, no, I need to meet with you. And I was like, okay. And I didn't understand why. And it was sort of an out of the ordinary request. Because he wasn't saying, let's just hang out.
There right.
was clearly something we needed to discuss.
Talk about.
And we got together, and he confronted me very respectfully about something. And we discussed it, and he said to me, you're one of the guys that I feel is worth talking to about this sort of thing.
And it was an issue. Like, you don't have to go into what it was, but it was like an issue you two had in your relationship.
Yeah, it was like something I did that
pissed him off.
That he found disrespectful, and then it was like stewing, and he was like, I want to deal with this.
Yeah.
I don't want to harbor it. And we talked about it, and it was great. And it was like, it moved us forward as friends and as people, I believe. But like, I just, the thing that resonated the most with me was him saying, I wouldn't do this with everybody. There are certain guys I do this with. There are other guys that I'd say it's not worth the time to have this deep
right.
discussion. So I like what you just said. You're one of the guys where I'm like, Kurt's worth the time. Like, he's a guy where I'm like, you know what, dude? Like, we should. And that's what the podcast is all about.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have this outlet where we can get it out in a very jovial and friendly way.
And also, I do feel, too, that like when we see each other now, because we haven't been able to, I honestly feel like the only time I actually get to like hang out with just a friend just to hang out, because I feel like I don't see anyone anymore. I really do, because I've been touring so often.
Right.
And then I've come back and it's been a lot of health issues within my family. And so it's
okay?
been like, yeah, we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
And so it's like just been so... I've been all over the place.
Of course, yeah.
And so I do feel like, because when we see each other now, like for the past few times we've seen each other, it's been in like a party scenario.
Right.
Like it's either at an event
right.
or it's at a bar. You came and do Hot Tub or something like that. Or I did your show.
Right.
Which I want to find out how it's going, by the way.
It's going well, thank you.
But the fact that we do this podcast, it's actually, what I'm trying to say is that I think when you're an adult, the way you become friends is a very specific just decision.
It's
just a decision. It's not like it doesn't happen naturally. You have to make it happen.
Much more limited process as adults, I believe.
Yeah,
making a new friend. It's also a much more strangely liberal process. Liberal process out of necessity. I used to have a bit in my act about this where I said, when you're a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I go, the worst part about getting older is you have to just accept who your friends are. I was like, you know, when you're a kid, you have unlimited options.
Yeah.
You know, the kids next door, kids up the street, kids around the corner, kids at school, kids at the pool, kids at the camp. You know, you're just meeting kids. So you could cut people off over nothing. Like, you know, like mafia.
Because it doesn't matter.
Style. Just like, you're dead to me.
You know? And also, you're dead to me over, like, you didn't come over once.
Exactly.
That one time.
It literally is like, you don't like the same G.I. Joe characters I like, you're dead to me.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, so... But I was like, then you get to be a grown-up, and you see the same five people every day, and you start to making, like, really hard justifications about who your friends are.
Yeah.
And you're literally like, you know, I know my neighbor beats his wife, but he's the only guy I know that drinks. You know, like, you're just trading, like, you're
especially
trading.
In a town that's not a huge city.
Yeah.
You know, you have limited options. You're gonna just get a little take the guy with all the flaws because he has one thing that you like to do with him.
Yeah. And so in, you know, in reality, it's a strangely more liberal process, yet the liberal aspect of it is only a product of necessity. But it is more limited. You can't pick and choose. So I'm actually quite grateful that we have this weird thing that this weird thing called podcasts was invented. And it's a weird thing that you kind of build a friendship on. You know, the one I do with Pat, like, I don't see...
Fucking plug in this podcast.
Plug in it.
Nobody knows what it's called or what it is. Tell them what it's called and what it is.
We'll See You in Hell. It's on Fangoria.com. It's Fangoria, the horror... Magazine has a new podcast network, and it's a horror podcast, and it's a lot of fun. Pat and I watch a movie, and we do a commentary to it. Listen to it. You'll enjoy it.
And it's been out now for a while?
I think we're approaching, like, the sixth episode.
All right.
We did our first live one from the Mile High Horror Fest in Denver.
Whoa.
A lot of fun. What a great time we had out there.
Denver is an amazing town.
Yeah, it was
Denver
fun.
Really is... Maybe beating Portland in cool town status.
Denver's pretty fucking cool.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. It's like Portland, but then a big city.
It's like Portland, except kind of like a little more blue collar attitude.
Yeah, that's true. That's
true. You know? It's, yep. But I love to both cities. Anyway, my point is Pat and I are friends and we hang out, but like I mainly see Pat now with some regularity because of that podcast.
Yeah.
And the same with you. So I appreciate that we have this. I just remembered another thing from the other episode that's definitely cool for us to talk about. Not a potentially regrettable thing.
Uh-huh.
I remember mentioning to you that we were at Georgia, our friend Georgia Hardstark's birthday party.
Uh-huh.
She had the party up in the park.
Yep.
And I said something to you. And you said to me in front of a couple people, you go, "You're sensitive." And I remember I was like, I couldn't tell if you were joking or not. And I got a little in my head. I was like, am I sensitive with Kurt? And I got way in my head about it.
Really?
And I think I brought this up to you last time. I think you were like, I was just joking, dude.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even remember what we were talking about. I think also and that's a thing that we don't talk about here on the podcast. But that in our personal interactions, Joe is the only person that I am horrifically mean to. and he the same thing to me. Like, our texts back and forth are, we wish we could talk about some of the things that happen in texts, but they use words and terms that are so offensive to the general population that we can't even discuss them with any meaning. And I realized this because I was in Lansing, Michigan, doing a show. At this like punk rock club, which is awesome. You guys should go to, I think it's called Max Bar in Lansing. Okay. I think that's what it's called.
Like,
yeah, it's a nice place. Anyway, did a show. The guys who were there, it just so happened that one of the guys looked like a younger version of you.
Okay.
And one of the guys looked like a younger version of Pete Holmes.
Ooh.
And we were having some drinks and I was like, and they both said like, "Don't I look like Joe DeRosa? Don't I look like Pete Holmes?" And I was like, that's true.
That's
and so I
weird.
Took a photograph of the one who looked like you, and I sent it to you with just like, "Look, it's you if you worked out, you piece of shit." And then I did the exact same thing with Pete. And like, I'm buddies with Pete. But also, it was like 2 a.m. And it's like, I don't know. Like, after in the morning, I woke up and I was like, it's fine. because you didn't even respond that night. But then
you know
Pete
what?
Immediately
I was doing
responded.
My podcast with Pat. That's why I didn't respond.
And Pete immediately responded, ha, 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 I'll eat him, which was a very funny response.
Mm-hmm.
But then I woke up in the morning and just was like, oh, I just realized, like, I applied my relationship with Joe to my relationship with Pete. And my relationship with Pete is not like that. I don't tell Pete to go fuck himself all the time.
Oh,
whereas, like, it's the main thing I say to
Pete
you.
Pete and I have I mean, the meanness between us is
right.
off the charts.
Like, that's, I believe that.
So
but,
he's
like,
cool
I
with
don't,
it.
I know he's cool with it. I recently, like, talked with him about it. But I do remember waking up being like, oh, I can't apply the things that I do with Joe to other friendships.
Not in this town. Not in this fucking. God damn.
So that's
town.
The thing. Let's get into the next thing, because I was just thinking about, because you're talking about the liberalness of, like, the relationship, like, you have to be liberal with you. And I remember just walking in, and I always think, like, before I arrive here, before we do this, because we always, like, hang out and have a drink before we get started. And whenever during that drink, when we haven't seen each other in a while, we're catching up, I always feel like I like this guy. Like, I always have that feeling.
I always have that feeling, too.
Right?
About myself, I mean.
You monster.
No, I always have that feeling. I was genuinely excited when I never care when you mentioned earlier you've had to cancel. I don't give a shit.
Good, because you get it.
First of all, I get it, and there's never a time where I'm like, oh, now I don't have to do anything today. I don't care at all. And I know that you would be just as understanding with
me. Yeah, of course.
So I don't care. But I do get genuinely excited when on a day where I know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Today was a day I knew it was going to happen. Because it was Saturday. I was like, nothing comes up at 6 p.m. on a Saturday.
Yeah.
We're actually going to do this. We're going to have a drink. Maybe we go to a bar after. I was like, this is going to be time well spent with a guy I like.
Yeah.
You know, I felt really good about it.
And so when I walked in, the thing you said to me, and I was trying to think about, like, what do I like about that? And you said, so I've been painting. And then you had your paintings up in the kitchen, too, which is the weirdest place to display art.
Well,
like, and also, it's not like I've been painting and it's like, oh, here's a painting I did. It's I've been painting. Here's eight paintings. There's an enormous amount of paintings that Joe's done. And what I like about that is the quality of it is I really enjoy the fact I like an open person who's just like, hey, here it is. Take it. I made all these paintings. And then he went into deeper, like, so where did the painting come from? That's what I want to know about.
Well, first of all, I pointed it out to you because I was like, here's something Kirk could make fun of for a while.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you actually were kind of like, let me learn more about this, which speaks to what a nice person you are. I really was just like, I want him to trash me about this.
I mean, I can, and I maybe will. But.
Well, please, don't hold back. But I started, here's why, my mother and I were talking, and we've been sharing aspects of therapeutic and cognitive behavioral therapy treatments and practices and whatever that we've
I mean, that's just a thing you chat about with your mom?
Yeah, my mom and I have had I love her dearly. I would do anything for her. We have had a very turbulent relationship, I would say, over the years. A good relationship, but it's been turbulent. And it's just because of where we both come from and how we both are.
Yeah.
And there were things, I think, that we both needed to work out independently of one another that very much changed the way we interacted with one another. So we're very open about that stuff. I'm very open with my family, period. You know, my family is no filter. Everything is out on the table. It can be very loud. And I'm talking my extended family, everybody. So that's where I come from, and I realize a lot of people don't come from that, which is why I appreciate doing a show like this, because it's like, I don't care. You know, I am the guy in the middle of a first date that will be like, are you having fun? If you're not, it's fine. You can tell me. I don't care, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, so she was telling me that she had learned about this thing called, these things called adult coloring books, which were, you know, sort of sophisticated designs and coloring books comprised of very small shapes and whatever. And they're therapists are prescribing them to adults because they take a lot, immense amount of concentration to color in the designs correctly. And it's the equivalent of meditation, basically. So you do it for 15, 20 minutes, and it relaxes your brain in a way like it's meditation. So I said, that's interesting because I've tried meditation. I don't really take to it. I have a hard time with it. I'm much better with an activity that relaxes me. And since I've moved out to L.A. and gotten a place that I had to kind of, that was bigger than my place in New York and kind of had to fill up the walls with things, I got more into art and I really liked abstract art a lot. And I just said, you know what? You can get like your painting starter kit, whatever you want to call it, for like $60.
Yeah.
$50. It's like, I'm just going to start painting abstract paintings. They're abstract. I don't need to know how to paint a boat.
So wait, you didn't paint before that?
No.
Oh.
I just started, I was like,
I assumed
painting.
When I saw your paintings that like it was something you did in high school or something.
Does that mean you think they're pretty good?
I mean, I think they're nice. I'm not going to say that they're great. They're nice. I like that you're doing it. Do you know what I mean?
Are they not good?
They're not good. Listen to me.
But But you're not going to go, oh my God, this is...
Right, I'm not going to be like, holy shit, Joe has a second talent.
Which is fine.
You know, like, you have a very good talent. You're a very funny man. You don't need to be greedy and be great at everything, all right?
All right. Fair enough.
But also, they're not, like, I enjoy looking at them. Do you know what
okay,
I mean?
Look, that's enough for me.
You know, I enjoy looking at them. They have form. They have good color. I actually think you have a great eye for composition as well.
Thank you.
But you can definitely tell that, like, oh, you're not a painter,
right? Right.
You know,
yeah.
In the same way that if you do something just as a hobby, you know.
Well, that's one of the things that attracted me to it. Aside from,
I mean, they're not retarded. Do you know what I mean? They're not bad.
Well, you're gonna get in trouble for.
I know.
Word.
God, I had a bad dream about saying that word last night.
Can I just make a point about something?
I don't mean it. It's just an East Coast thing.
It
really is
an East Coast thing.
It's like I just grew up saying it, and I can't get it out of the inside of my brain.
We all know how you meant it. We know what you didn't mean to be.
Because I don't ever want to insult someone with Down syndrome. That's the last thing I ever want to do.
Of course not. But also, too, somebody told me the other day, like, you're not even allowed to say retarded people. Like, if you're just speaking factually. And I was
really?
Like, I was like,
I thought that was a medical condition.
Like, that's a definition in the dictionary.
Yeah,
that's
I thought that point. Was, really?
Maybe this person was just out of control. Anyway, listen, we know what you meant, Kurt.
Okay.
Here's my thing. The thing I liked about the idea of getting into some painting and stuff was it wasn't, aside from the mental relaxation, it wasn't something that I wanted to do to try to, you know, become a professional at. I don't want to be a professional painter. I'm not going to try to sell my paintings, at least at this point.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a goal. Like, everything creative I do often has, like, some sort of end game to it. And a lot of the times that's monetary. Writing is, you know, I write for television a lot. You know, I write scripts. I try to sell those scripts. I do stand-up, obviously, to make the bulk of my living. Acting is for income. You know, even music and stuff that like that I do is always like there's always some idea of this will be performed or whatever. But painting was like one thing where I was like, this is just a thing like I want to do.
I mean, I think that's incredibly valuable, like an aesthetic expression that is only for itself.
It's great, man. And I put on like I buy a lot of records, like vinyl records. I mean, so like, you know, man, you just put on like I put on like the Carpenters.
Yeah.
I paint.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful way to spend your Saturday or Sunday morning.
Yeah.
You know, so and when I'm not at a writing gig, I'll do it every day. That's why I have so many paintings.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I started this job about 6 weeks ago, so I haven't been able to do it with the same frequency.
That's pretty great.
But that's you do surfing for those same reasons.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I was just about to bring that up because this idea of like a meditation and I was just thinking about like I think I probably, even though I've been surfing since I was 14 years old, I've surfed my entire life. My surfing probably looks like your paintings. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't like, I'm competent. Like I can take care of myself. I'm never going to put myself in a bad situation.
Right.
and I can stay out of people's way, and I can surf. I surf okay, but I'm not like, I don't think I'm very pretty. I'm not a pretty surfer.
Right.
I don't, you know, you didn't watch me and go, oh yeah, look at that guy.
Right.
Ripping
You're not heading for the Hawaii competition.
Right. No competition whatsoever.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
But also I surf all the time and I love it. And it is like, it's an aesthetic expression only for itself. And it also has a very similar meditative process.
Very interesting. Well, yeah, you're one with the sea. And I don't say that to be funny. It's a funny
no, but I mean, like, the thing
it,
is, like, most of surfing is sitting and waiting, and you're just looking out at, you're looking out at patterns in water. You know, you're, like, waiting for sets to come in.
That's amazing. It's so there's a mathematical component to it. Or an engineering component to it.
Well, you're looking for patterns. You know what I mean? Like, it's also, like, it's shades and shapes. You know, you
sure.
can tell, like, especially when it's an overcast day. When it's overcast, the kind of the ocean becomes kind of the same color as the sky. And when you're actually looking at the horizon, it's sometimes difficult to tell the difference between the two. So you are looking for kind of, like, subtle differences in shadow to figure out if a set's coming in.
Sure. But, I mean, mathematical is the wrong word. And so is engineering.
They're both the wrong words. They have nothing to do with surfing, other than maybe making surfboards. What are you doing with your microphone?
I'm trying to fix the mic stand. Sorry, because it's wobbling and it's driving me fucking crazy.
All right.
But my point is that there's a mechanical element to it.
A mechanical?
Yeah. It's mechanical in a way. You say this works and this doesn't, and I have to wait here until the thing that works comes.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
There are components.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And also there's a lot of, like, what I like to call lizard brain involved, you know, where you can prep and train and everything, but really once you start surfing, there's no thought. It all just goes back into, like, deep brain muscle memory sort of shit.
So I like this, though, because this is similar to painting. We're doing similar things. There's a mechanical element to painting. Oh, okay, what color goes with this color? What will look appealing to the eye? I fuck this up here. I painted too far in that direction with this color. How do I balance that out now? There's no erasing. There's just repainting,
yeah.
You know? So I think these are very similar processes. And surfing, until you just said that, I never realized it. Surfing is, I think you could argue that all sports are art forms. But surfing, I think, particularly has a very visually aesthetic quality to it. There's graceful way to do it, and there's a very...
I honestly think when you watch surf competitions, it's like the... It's exciting because it's, you know... That's the only time you get to watch live surfing, but like the judging for it is, like, in my opinion, lame. It's how many turns you can get in, and if you can get a barrel. Barrels are great, but it's like how many turns you can get in. It's like, who gives a shit how many turns you get in on one wave? It's instead really should be like the free sessions. They have, like, free sessions where it's just like you go and you surf. And all these amazing surfers go and just do whatever the fuck they want.
Sure.
Those are the things I like to watch. Because then it's almost more like gymnastics.
Well, yeah. I think I was just going to say, I think there's a reason that gymnastics, skateboarding, snowboarding, surfing, these are sports I feel that, like, most people that aren't even into sports can enjoy watching. You know? Like, I'm not a sports guy at all. But I could sit and watch guys skateboard for probably hours because I'm so in awe of, like, the gracefulness and physicality of it all. And then when they pull off some crazy thing that looks like, I'm like, my God, I would literally break my neck if I tried to do that. It's amazing.
That's all I watch online are skate videos, surfing videos, and boat launches.
Why boat launch?
I'm talking to everybody out there right now. I'm talking to Joe. I'm talking to everybody. Google boat launches gone wrong. Google sideways boat launches.
That's different. You didn't say gone wrong.
But I mean,
first you said boat
first,
launches.
Okay, even successful boat launches are fucking amazing. Because you know what they do? Like, when they make a tanker, they build a tanker on land, obviously, but then they have it. When they do a side launch, it's very impressive. So they have a canal just to the right hand side of this giant super tanker that's like 1,000 feet long, 8 stories tall, and then it's on a set of rails that's dipped to go into the water, and they release a button, and this, like, I don't even know how much it. 200,000 tons or something slides on a rail sideways, falls off the edge, goes sideways into the water. So, like, the whole 8 stories, like, hits the side of the water and then just bounces up slowly and rights itself. Meanwhile, sending a tsunami-like wave across to the other side, wiping out everything on the other side of the waterway.
Really?
It's awesome.
I thought when you were saying boat launches, I thought you were talking about, like, a guy, like, smashing champagne across a bow.
Oh, you mean like a christening, a boat christening?
Yeah, I was like, why do you watch that? All right, now I got you. That sounds pretty cool.
What happens when
it goes wrong? It sinks?
Yeah, so... they're very rare because there's so much engineering that goes into these things, but it'll literally, if they side launch it, it'll tip and then just fill up with water and flip over and sink. It's awesome.
Now, speaking of water.
Yes.
You told me about an activity that you've been planning.
Yes.
For some time now.
No, we came up with it today.
Oh, sorry.
So my wife and I were just talking and we're like, what we should do. Because this is something I've been wanting to do since I moved to L.A. I've wanted to tube the L.A. River because I love tubing. Mm-hmm. And the L.A. River is one of the most fucked up, weird, futuristic looking. In case you guys don't know In case you guys don't know what they did to the L.A. River. So there was this beautiful river that ran through Los Angeles. But every 10 years or so. Like this year, because it's an El Nino, whenever an El Nino would happen, they would get flooding. So what they did to control the flooding of the LA River was they filled the whole fucking thing with concrete and then made just one little trough in the middle. And so if you've seen, like, Grease or Drive, where
Terminator
they, like, go
2.
Racing, Terminator 2.
They do the big race with the,
they do
with
a big
the
race.
Motorcycle and everything.
They drive on it because it's pavement.
Yeah.
And so that's the L.A. River. But there's a little, what you don't see is in the middle of it, there's, like, a little waterway. That's maybe, like, a few feet deep.
Okay.
So I've been wanting to tube it for the whole time. And we've been going through, we've had a 10-year drought. There's an El Nino coming this winter. We're supposed to get record rainfall. That means the L.A. River is going to be fucking wild and crazy. So,
right. So you
the plan
wanna,
is, before it gets too wild, after the first heavy rainfall, that the weekend after the first L.A., first El Nino, is we have what we're calling Lazy River.
I'm already annoyed at the title of it.
Good, thank you. It's. I'm going to pull up the website. I made the website today.
Lazy River.
It's called Lazy River. First annual L.A. River tubing expedition.
Now, is this legal?
Fuck that. That's why I don't have... See, I've been trying to do this with, like, for a TV show for a long time, and it's all this bullshit red tape. And fuck that. It's totally illegal. I don't know if it's illegal. But it's like, this is what we're going to do.
All right.
This is what you can. Here's what everyone can look forward to. I will launch this website on Tuesday. It's got its finishing touches on soon.
Okay.
There's an opening tube christening and ceremony.
Okay.
We'll probably have a band out there.
Okay.
We'll do a little thing. We'll have some drinks. It's a pre-party at the river to send tubers off with music and libations. And then it's a race to the death. With cheering sections at key points along the river, and then an awards ceremony and after party.
I'd take death out of the website.
No, I'm going to keep that in there. I'm going to keep that in there because
out
it
of
is
the website
it might be.
Open to the public.
A race to the death. No one's going to be murdered. It's a funny idea to have a race that's on a river in tubes.
Sure.
Because there's no winning that race. But we're going to have little bibs made up with, like, race numbers and everything that people can pin to their wetsuits.
So it's just a way to get drunk.
I mean, I did just buy an inflatable cooler on Amazon today for
it. This is what annoys me about you. Kurt just can't say, I like to get wasted. He's got some kind
I don't like to get wasted, first and foremost.
Oh, come on.
Oh, shut up.
we all like to get wasted. So I'm not saying you sit at home getting sloshed.
Right.
But I'm saying you like to have a night out in the town.
Yeah, we have a night out once in a while.
Yeah. He's got some weird inner guilt, as you just heard. He's like, I don't like to get wasted. He's got some weird guilt about this thing.
It's not guilt. You misunderstand
these events around drinking.
Yes.
Let's just go to a bar on
that day. Listen, tubing the LA River, I would do without alcohol, hands down. Making it a big party with a lot of people and having everyone having some drinks as we float down an industrial waterway, would that make it better? Yeah, it would make it better.
Well, thank God. We'll all be drunk while we get hepatitis.
Exactly.
All right, listen.
And tetanus.
I'll be there.
You're going to be there?
Are you
committing to tubing?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah! You got to buy your tube. You can get them on Amazon, $20.
I'll buy a tube, Kurt.
Yes! I'm so happy you're there.
And we're all wet and drunk in a holding cell. I'll say, remember how we should have just went to Ye Rustic Inn?
Guys, it's going to be amazing. It's like every movie you've ever seen about L.A. has featured the L.A. River. It's going to be the El Nino. The water's going to be up. I mean, this is going to be something.
How dirty is that water going to be?
I mean, it's dirty, man. I'm not going to bullshit you, all right? Put some fucking rubber gloves on. You know, wear a wetsuit.
Do we need a wetsuit?
I mean, it's up to you. How brave are you?
How much is a wetsuit?
You can borrow a wetsuit.
I don't think I'd fit in your wetsuit.
You would. It might be too big for you.
That's what I'm saying. I think it'd be too big.
Wetsuit, you can get a cheap wetsuit for $90.
$90?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm 110 into this thing already. I'm 110 into this
thing. That's if you need a wetsuit. You know, you can probably borrow Andy Wood's wetsuit. Andy Wood will probably fit you.
Are you going to wear a wetsuit?
Yeah, fuck you.
Then don't do the little, like, if you need a wetsuit, like I'm a fucking pussy. Because it's disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, but the thing is about a wetsuit is it doesn't keep water off your skin. It just keeps you warm.
Well, I mean, I just, you know, we're going to be traipsing through this Eddie Furlong water.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I just want to make sure that it's clean.
Yeah.
It won't be clean. There's no way to make
sure. But anyway, it'll be going up. The idea is it's TBD for the date yet, but we'll announce it. I mean, this is the first annual. Joe, you're looking at, you're shaking your head right now. This is going to be a thing that's going to happen every single year in Los Angeles.
It won't happen every year because there's not an El Nino every year.
But we can always tube the LA River in the winter.
Have you ever seen what it looks like sometimes?
Yes, I've been dreaming about this. I watch the river.
You can walk through it on most days. I mean,
it's like an inch tall most days.
Yeah, you can't.
But in the wintertime, it's usually high enough because of the rains.
Here's the thing. I think it's a good idea. I think it's a cool idea. I think it's a fun idea. I'm not shaking my head at the idea. I'm shaking my head at you. Kurt one time put together this thing, and he sends this email blast to all of us, and he's like, we're going to hike this Saturday, 11 a.m.
It's not 11 a.m.
1 p.m., whatever it was. It's, yeah. He goes, we're going to hike up this thing in Griffith Park. Whatever park it was.
It's a secret garden.
A secret garden. Everybody bring wine. We'll drink at the top of this mountain. I'm like, okay. We hike up to it. I got so fucked up at this thing.
Well, first off, was it not a secret garden on top of a mountain?
It was a great secret garden.
It's amazing.
It's a secret garden.
It's a succulent garden on top of a mountain in Griffith Park.
Here's my point. It was one of the drunkest days I've ever
had. That's not my fault.
In Los Angeles.
I didn't make you drunk. You made yourself drunk.
I woke up on my couch at 1 a.m. with McDonald's surrounding me, like, oh, what happened? And I was like, this was all just a ploy to get hammered. We could have just bar crawled.
Uh-uh. I don't want to bar crawl. I don't enjoy bar. That's the thing. I don't enjoy.
All right.
Going to bars, really, for the most part. I spend so much of my life working and performing in bars.
Mm-hmm.
When I want to hang out, have a few drinks with some friends, I want to do it in an adventure setting.
Right.
I enjoy adventure.
Fair enough.
I feel like we nailed this hang.
This emo hang?
Yeah, this emo hang.
End of the drink. As I finish the drink, you started to wrap it up.
I'm wrapping it up.
I don't blame you. I've had enough.
Yeah.
Let's go have some fun.
So here's some questions. I would like to throw this out. Any suggestions for guests that anyone would have? Because I think we need to start opening it up to guests.
I would like to. In fact, the two guys I'd really like to get on here are the Sklar brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think it would be very interesting as you and I discuss our development, our emotional development as men with one another. I would love to hear the twin brother.
Yeah.
Version of that.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. So, but look, we now it's not, we're not closing it off by any means to women. Everybody's welcome.
Oh, no, not at all. We should totally have a lady come in.
But I think the key with a female guest is somebody that can shed some light on perhaps what the differences between the way a female experiences this versus the way a male experiences.
Eliza Schlesinger this.
I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, get the differences between men and women.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. Like a freezing hot kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to get different guests on. Any suggestions you have, please let us know. And also any questions you have for the two of us about friendship, about being being adults, becoming friends, anything like that, send it to us. And you can do it on Twitter or you can do it on the comments section of the podcast.
This has been Emotional Hangs.
That's Joe DeRosa.
That's Kurt Braunohler. Braunohler.
Braunohler. Fuck off. You don't even know my name.
That's how you
That's
say it.
That's it. We're Braunohler. Done. Braunohler, you piece of shit.
I've always
You don't even know who I am.
I've always heard it as Braunohler.
We've been doing this whole time. You don't know who I am.
Hit stop. Feral Audio.